Hey everyone, it's Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Welcome to episode 31 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
On this week's show, we'll be drinking and reviewing craft beers from Stone Brewing and Duclaw Brewing Company, talking about a potential matchup between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier, and covering a ton of Google hardware news, including the new Pixel 5.
Awesome. We'll also be talking about HP's Reverb G2 VR headset. Can't wait for that. Free games through Epic and Microsoft's purchase of ZeniMax and Bethesda. Wow. And we're back. All right, guys. Quick reminder, please like and subscribe on YouTube and also subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you guys really want to help us grow, the best way is to share this with a friend. We appreciate you as always, and your support is very much appreciated. We are glad you're here. We're glad we're doing this. We love it.
Yes, absolutely. And make sure you guys check out the YouTube chapters or the timestamps below in the description if you'd like to skip around to your favorite topics. All right, man, we have a lot to cover today, so let's get into this. How was your week, sir?
Oh, man, big ticket item. Shaved half my beard off.
I know. You before the video came on, you said, I shaved my beard. And I was like, instantly, what does this mean for the Ginger and the Beard?
Oh, no.
It's the Ginger and the baby. You can't have a beard without the beard?
Ginger and the baby.
it looks good, man. Looks nice and clean.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was much needed. You know, it was like getting in my food. It was getting in my mouth. It was getting in my eyeballs. You know, sucking freaking beard was everywhere.
It's getting in my belly button.
It's all the way down to my belly button. It's places I don't want my beard to be, frankly. So yeah, half the beard's gone. Feels good. Feel a little bit naked. But yeah, I'll get used to it. It won't take long. You know, besides that, geez, I was supposed to be down there. We were actually supposed to be down there visiting you guys, and plans changed. Things changed. So we're staying up here this weekend. You know, not a lot of crazy stuff going on. Just going to be getting stuff done around the house. You know, how about you?
Yeah, pretty chill week. I mean, on Tuesday we kind of talked about what's been going on the past weekend and things like that. But yeah, pretty low key weekend or week here too, man. Had some nice weather and got outside a couple times on the skateboard. No accidents. That's always a win. I haven't smashed my new Apple Watch yet. That's a plus.
Nice.
But yeah, other than that, not a lot going on. Looking forward to the weekend. It's gonna be nice and cool here. I think in the 60s. And tomorrow night, we're going to try to do a practice backyard camping experiment with the kids.
Oh, wow.
So for any new listeners out there, I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So before we actually make plans for a real camping adventure, we're going to pop up a tent in the backyard and see how they do. See if they can do it. See if they can handle it. They're men now.
See if they can handle the outdoors survival mode of life.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see. Can they make it through, or like an hour in, are they going to be like, can we go inside and watch TV now? Like, I'm kind of over this. Like, this is cool and all, but like Paw Patrol,
you have to take an iPad with you or something.
Yeah, exactly. Really roughing it these days, guys.
Really, yeah. Good old glamping and its finest.
Our Wi-Fi reaches out there. But yeah, speaking of glamping, I think one more podcast I think we will record before this, but my wife and I are actually going to Asheville, North Carolina in a couple weeks to do some glamping, this cool like outdoor like crazy looking tent thing. But I'm going to be touring a ton of breweries out there while we're there, because Asheville's like brewery capital of the world or something.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So many breweries. But yeah, really looking forward to that.
Well, I can't wait
to
hear.
It, man.
I can't wait to hear how that goes. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
My wife and I just found out that. Speaking of glamping, I have a Costco membership through my company, and I found out that they have like 50% off on RV rentals. So,
what?
Yeah. So I don't know if you have Costco or anything like that. But we just found out about it today. We got like this email about it. So now I want to go get an RV and just go take it out on the road for like a week, you know, go stay in the mountains glamping, you know.
Dude, take us with you.
That'd be freaking awesome, wouldn't it?
we'll go halfsies.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to the wife about it. We'll see what's up, you know?
Let's do it. Let's do that, man.
We've always wanted to buy one of those conversion vans, you know? Convert them into an actual like house and just do that, but this might be a more realistic option. Let's try
the renting first. Let's rent first and then see where we go from there.
Tip your toes in first. Don't just jump right into the deep end of this. So,
babe, I sold our house. We're moving in an RV. What? Hold on. What?
Well, so you're going to be drinking beers very soon. I think we got some beer to talk about right now. You want to go ahead and transition over?
Yeah, man. Let's do that. I'm so excited.
All right. Be right back. And we're back. So, what are you drinking, sir?
Oh, man. Finally, the day has come. I get to have this beer that I've had in my fridge for like a month at this point. Maybe not quite a month, but we put up the polls on Instagram as we do every Thursday, except for that one time when I forgot. and the people have spoken. Your vote matters, people. The polls are open. Go vote on every Thursday on the Ginger and the Beard's Instagram story. If you're not following us on Instagram, definitely check us out there. But this week, it was between the Tradition Brewing Ghost Pepper Lager and the Stone / Modern Times Brewing collaboration Wizards and Gargoyles Hazy Coffee IPA. I don't have the percentages in front of me, but the Wizards and Gargoyles beat out the Ghost Pepper Lager. You know, I'm honestly surprised that the Ghost Pepper Lager has lost twice now.
I voted for it both times.
Yeah, because I figured people like would just want to light me up and like watch me suffer on
nope,
camera. But
just me.
Yeah, just you. Thanks, buddy. Apparently, we have a very nice following on Instagram. I appreciate you folks. But both of them interesting selections. I've been very curious about this one ever since I picked it up. A hazy coffee IPA. I don't know that I've ever had a coffee IPA, so I'm very interested in it. I was reading about it before the show and trying to learn a little bit about it before cracking it open, which I'm going to do right now. But again, it was brewed by Stone Brewing in collaboration with Modern Times Beer. Both of them located in San Diego, California, so they're neighbors in a sense. But let's go ahead and give this a quick pour.
There it is, folks. The good old ginger and the beard glass. Glass beer receptacle there. A lot of head on that one.
Yeah, a lot of head. To be fair, I had this can out earlier while I was preparing for the show. It's been sitting out for a minute, so it probably has something to do with that head. But
yeah,
pretty hazy indeed. Not super, super hazy. It's kind of hard to tell on this camera here, but nice golden color. Very thick head, like we mentioned. Could be my fault, maybe. But instantly, the aroma, pretty strong. I mean, not pretty. I mean, it's kind of balanced. I'd say balanced between the coffee that I was expecting and also quite hoppy as well. I have to wait for that head to go down for a second before I get into it. But yeah, like I was saying, they're both in San Diego, California, neighbors in that sense. We're all pretty familiar with Stone Brewing, but Modern Times is a brewery that I hadn't known much about. So I was looking into them. So they're an employee-owned brewery. So I don't really, not really sure exactly what that means. But maybe it means employees own like a share of the business. I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyways, apparently the first in California to make that claim. And they have an expanding coffee operation within the brewery. So they source and roast single origin beans. They sell them by the bag and they also include them in their beer. And so that's what's in this beer here. And that's what's given that coffee aroma. We'll go ahead and get a sip here.
I like the idea of working and owning at the same time. I wonder how the share distribution is.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'd like to learn more about that. Okay, so off the bat, I'm going to go ahead and just say that's unique. That's very unique. Coffee, I'm familiar with coffee and beers, but usually in like porters and stouts and things of that nature. And I feel like this is kind of what I was expecting when you mix coffee and hops together. It's just like an odd flavor that my mouth just doesn't quite know what to do with. It almost has like a spice to it. I don't know if that's just because of all the hops or this very strong, bitter coffee flavor. You know, I mean, I think on the finish, the longer I sit here, the coffee definitely presents itself a lot more forward than the hops. But that first sip I took, it was quite hoppy.
Is it very bitter or just mildly bitter?
It's not super bitter up front, but towards the finish, it's definitely dry, which is how they explained it on the website as well. It's dry. I mean, you expect that, I guess, from a coffee, some roasted coffee beans, a bitter, you know, kind of taste.
Right.
You know, so it's not, I think the more I sip it and the more my taste buds kind of acclimate to what's happening, I'm enjoying it more now.
Nice.
But medium bodied, I'd say, not super full bodied. tropical, citrusy for sure. Interestingly, this was brewed with a handful of different hops. Citra, Centennial, Cashmere, Azaka, I think is how you pronounce it. But also, there's two other hops in here that are still in development, quote unquote. They are HBC 685 and HBC 692. So I guess those hops aren't quite finished their breeding or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So as we kind of learned about when we talked to the guys from Lion Binds, it takes a long time to get your final product because it constantly changes on you, and you have to make tweaks and things like that to make sure it comes out just right and to make sure nothing happens, you know, in a negative sort of way.
I wonder if the spice is coming from one of those hop strains, one of those hop breeds.
Definitely possible. You know, they described a nutty flavor on the website. I don't really pick up on the nutty, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's hard to explain without like you actually tasting this. If you can get your hands on one, I'd definitely recommend you check it out.
Well, I had a beer this weekend. I had a Blue Moon, and it was like a nitro coffee lager. Right?
Okay.
So like not quite what you're experiencing, but like the whole coffee in like a lighter kind of beer, which isn't normal, right? But it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it's just, it's taking me a second to warm up to it. I would say definitely not for the faint of heart, you know, for somebody who's, you know, not as experimental with your tasting preferences, but
I have an experiment for you.
Okay.
Take that beer and then go make a pot of coffee and go grab another IPA and mix those together and then drink that side by side with this.
See what it tastes like.
See which one, who did it better.
Yeah. So I just finished off the can, pouring it into this glass, and I gave it a little shake, a little shaky at the bottom.
Nice.
Swirly, swirly, and I definitely pulled out a lot more haze with that. So I'm going to give this one final sip and see if any of the lingering sort of hop flavor comes through. Yeah, I definitely feel like this sip now with the rest of that, you know, sediment sort of in there, it's a little bit more balanced now and it's not as kind of coffee roasty.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, I enjoy it. It's good to kind of play with different, you know, flavors. And that's why I like to pick up these really odd, you know, concept and collaboration beers, because it's something unique that's not going to be out year round. Actually, when I was looking on their website, they said that this is available only in California and ships only to California. So I'm not really sure how it ended up in Virginia, but it was at Wegmans and I saw it one day and scooped it up. Actually, no, it wasn't Wegmans. It was that Total Wine. So somehow it made its way to Virginia and I'm glad it did. Glad to check it out. So again, if you have the opportunity to check them out, make sure you do. Shout out to Stone Brewing and Modern Times Brewing out there in sunny California. Great beer, guys.
Nice. Sounds like they might need to like reel it back on the coffee a little bit and maybe focus on the normal, just regular IPA flavor with just a hint of coffee rather than it being kind of crossed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Interesting experiment, I guess. But I prefer my coffee in the darker beers, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what about you, man? What did the people give you this week?
Well, I threw another Anderson Valley up there, and I threw that up against a Dewclaw Brewing Mad Bishop. It's an Oktoberfest, as you can see here if you're watching on YouTube. Pretty excited about this. I'm happy that we're getting into Oktoberfest season. I think a lot of people are excited about pumpkin beers. The Anderson Valley was a pumpkin beer. I'm more excited about the Oktoberfest, man. The more classic, the classic style that you get during this time of year. So this is a lager type of beer. It's a Marzen / Oktoberfest, obviously. It's 6% ABV, 30 IBUs. Count your blessings. The side of the can says, "Count your blessings." Mad Bishop is a German-style Oktoberfest that faithfully delivers a sermon of rich, toasted malt flavor that goes down easy with a crisp, clean finish. Crafted in Maryland.
Nice.
I didn't know Dewclaw was in Maryland. That's awesome. Drink the madness, heavenly flavor. Sounds good. Baltimore, Maryland. Might have to make a trip up there. Let's crack this baby open.
I love that can art.
I do too. It's pretty cool looking, right? Yeah, yeah. It looks all crazy.
Mad Bishop.
All right, let's go ahead. Got the ginger and the beard glass here. Let's not hit the keyboard. Try and pour it slow. Let me make sure you guys can see it. Well, that's a nice color we got going there. Okay.
Oh, very nice. Nice amber color.
Yeah. All righty.
Guys, if you're beer fans, beer fanatics, you want to see some tasty looking beers, make sure you check our videos out on YouTube. You see that pour in action.
See if I can get some more in here without getting too much head. Yeah, I think, you know what I think it is? I think these glasses are, there's something about these glasses maybe that causes the head to be a little bit too pronounced, but who
definitely
knows?
Could be. Yeah, I think that's the next foray for you and I should be experimenting with different glass shapes, because I think there's a science to it.
I think so. So this is a definitely a copper colored beer. It's very very nice. I like the color to it. It just looks like it looks like it's like an amber copper color, very soothing. We got an off-white head to it. The off-white almost has that, you know, kind of like copper tinge to it, I guess, as well. So, you know, very cool. We got two different hop varieties here. I'm not sure if I'm going to say these right, but it's Tattenang and Hallertau. So, yeah, I'm not so keen on those, but we got some grains. We got Vienna malt, Munich malt, Kara Munich malt, and Melanoidin. I hope I got that right.
Who names these things?
It's definitely not me. I would have called them like Jeff and Earl. We got some Earl malt. We got some Jeff malt. We got some Batty malt right there. You know, we got some malt. That's the regular malt. the website. So before I go ahead and give this guy a sip, the website gives a nice little description here. It says, "One of our most popular and enduring seasonal brews has been haunting the congregation with its distinct copper color and rich toasted malt flavor and aroma since its first brewed in 1996. Wow, thing's been around for 24 years? That's awesome. This true 6% ABV German-style Oktoberfest combines complex aromas and flavors of sweet and toasted malt, a smooth mouthfeel created by an 8-week lagering process in a clean, crisp finish. With that, let's give it a taste.
Very nice. Very nice. While you mull that over a second, I am so often impressed by the copywriting skills of these people that work at breweries.
Why? What do you mean?
They just write such great descriptions.
Oh, I know. That was amazing. I had to. Yeah, I mean,
like, you know, label design is one like subculture for beer, but also like descriptions is another subculture. It's impressive.
Yeah, I really like this. So I'm not really big into bitterness. Okay. And so usually Oktoberfests have a good Oktoberfest will have like a good amount of bitterness to it. This one's right around my range, 30 IBUs. I feel like they did it right, you know. Even at 30 IBUs, it's certainly not overwhelming for the normal person, but for me, that's like not a big fan of bitterness in my beer. This one is doing me good right now. So very cool. You know, the caramel flavor is consistent with most Oktoberfest beers. They explain it as being mild, and I would agree with them that it's very mild. You know, once it kind of hits your tongue, you get that initial up front. It's not overwhelming. It's not very pronounced. It's kind of just right where it needs to be. You know, so overall, I mean, this is really, this seems like a very well-rounded Oktoberfest. Maybe on like the lighter side, you could say, but certainly something that I'm definitely going to be enjoying tonight. I'd say it's a little bit lighter on the body there. The head wasn't very uniform. That's one thing I noticed. There was some bigger bubbles and some very small bubbles. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but it, you know, still looks very good in my hand right now. I definitely would recommend this to you all.
Yeah. Nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm kind of excited for the cooler weather to come out. Last year was the first year that I really started to like, you know, not force myself, but like really push myself into some of the stouts and porters, because it just wasn't something that I had a lot of experience with. So I took advantage of the season last year to really get into that stuff. And I really had a great time tasting a lot of stuff that I've never had before. So I'm looking forward to trying out a lot more of the Oktoberfest beers. And if I can find one of those, I definitely want to try it out.
Yeah, man, definitely. I'm very happy that we're getting into dark beer season. I love malty, heavy, stout, you know, beers, man. Never really been big on the hoppy stuff. So I'm happy that I had a lot of sours to experience this past summer. That was a lot of fun for me. And, you know, here we go. We're getting into a new season, man. All kinds of new stuff coming about.
Yes, absolutely. I was actually visiting one of our favorite breweries here locally, Farmhouse Brewing Company. You guys have heard the name before. If you're a local listener here, you live in 757 Hampton Roads, definitely check out Farmhouse Brewing if you haven't already. But I was there today with Shayna, and I tried out their Witch of Pungo Pumpkin Ale, which I highly recommend. Not overpowering on the pumpkin, which I appreciate. I don't really like huge, you know, in your face pumpkin flavors, but that one was very well balanced and very nice. And while I was there, I actually got to meet face to face somebody that works there, and her name was Lauren, and she hooked us up with some exclusives, some early access beers. So guys, sweet. Make sure you, yeah, thank you so much, Lauren, again for that. Make sure you stick around and stay tuned for some future episodes, some future content. We'll be talking more about that beer that we got access to today. They haven't announced it yet, so I don't want to give away too many secrets just yet, but I will say it's an IPA. It's part of their new IPA, or their latest IPA series, and you'll learn more about that in the near future, so make sure you check back for that. But with all that said, I think we've got some beer news to talk about, right?
Yeah, we do. We have some interesting beer news, guys. Anheuser-Busch officially owns Widmer Brothers and the Craft Beer Alliance. So, you know, I don't really see Widmer Brothers. Like, I'm not that, like, that doesn't ring any bells for me. Craft Beer Alliance does ring some bells for me, but it might not for most people that don't really get into this kind of stuff. So let me tell you, these might ring some bells. These are the beers. These are the brewing companies that are a part of the Craft Brewing Alliance. Their parent company is Widmer Brothers, and that's why I stated that. So what is the Craft Beer Alliance? It's Kona Brewing Company, Appalachian Mountain Brewery, Cisco Brewers, Omission Brewing Company, Red Hook Brewery, Square Mile Cider Company, and Wynwood Brewing Company. Now, three of these pop out to me immediately, and that's Red Hook, Omission, and Kona. Yep. Do any of these sound familiar to you?
Yeah, Kona is the one that sticks out the most for me. I've definitely seen Kona here locally. I feel like I've seen Appalachian Mountain Brewery before. Obviously, we're in that part of the country, but you know, I don't know any specifics that come to mind.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. So, you know, the article that I read didn't give me a whole lot of insight into what's happening here. I just know that they were working on closing this deal. Everybody kind of knew about this. It went public back in like Q3 of last year. You know, so I'm assuming that Anheuser-Busch is trying to expand their distribution. I'm sure that Craft Brewer Alliance is trying to expand their distribution, and that's probably why they agreed to be, you know, consumed by Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch is probably trying to expand into more up-to-date flavors, I think is probably how I could say it, is expand into this craft brew and get that market share that they don't really have right now in that area, so that they can kind of specialize and maybe, you know, bring some of these craft beers to a larger market and get them out there. So very interesting. The Anheuser-Busch will grow from 18,000 employees to just over 21,000 employees. And now they're growing from around 100 facilities to 140 facilities, breweries, pubs, and tap rooms. So pretty substantial, man. Pretty substantial growth for them.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people shit on the fact that, you know, Anheuser-Busch and other bigger companies are buying up some of these craft breweries. But I'm like, dude, what's the big deal? Like, your favorite craft brewery gets picked up by Anheuser-Busch. That's nothing but a good thing for that, for your local brewer, right? You know, these local craft breweries are nothing more than startup companies. You think about tech startup companies. They go to CES. They go to, you know, any other consumer show. They get bought up by an Amazon or Facebook or something like that. That's immediate, instant funding where they get to live out their dreams. You know, obviously, yes, I understand there are corporate, you know, motivations behind some things, and some plans and strategies will change after that fact. But I look at it as a positive. Like you said, these smaller brewers getting to expand their product out, you know, distribute much further than they ever would have been able to on their own. So that, I think it's an exciting thing.
And
I think you're absolutely right about Anheuser, you know, trying to, you got to think about these companies like Coors and Miller and these folks, you know, have been producing this light beer stuff for so long. They've got to do something to keep up with the trend of craft brewing. You know, Anheuser actually bought Devil's Backbone, a really large, really popular craft brewery local to the East Coast of the United States. And now I think they distribute nationally.
Yep.
So yeah, they're doing what they can to keep up. So I guess there's different ways you can look at it, but
yeah, it makes sense.
I guess good for Weidmer Brothers and Craft Brew Alliance. That's exciting.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I agree with your points there. You know, there is a little bit of, I think you could be a little bit skeptical on, well, are the breweries that I love going to be able to continue doing what I want them to do? And it's like, well, they're going to have more funding to do those things, we think, but they're going to be limited to what Anheuser-Busch wants them to do. So, they won't have as much freedom, but
if they started buying up craft breweries and then shutting them down,
that wouldn't make any sense.
Buying them out. Yeah, that would suck. You know, like they're buying up their competition and buying out the brewers and stuff and shutting them down. That would suck, but I don't think that's what's happening.
No, I think the way that it works is if they buy up these companies and these companies are still profitable, nothing's going to change. It's just going to get better for them.
Yeah.
Now, if they're not profitable, that's where you'll see, you know, that kind of shut down. But it's not going to because Anheuser-Busch didn't at least give them a chance. So
Right.
A little bit more news. Been kind of talking about beer for a lot here, but I love it, and I know you do. So
I love beer.
We got one more, guys. Yuengling Hershey's Chocolate Porter makes its return in bottles. Originally released in draft only in 2019 in 14 states, it's now going to be released in 21 states. Of course, all the states that Yuengling has access to. So if Yuengling's in your state, then you'll probably have some Hershey's Chocolate Porter around you. It's 4.7 ABV. It's a dark brewed porter with Hershey's chocolate. Oh my God, take me home. Chocolate flavor with caramel and dark roasted malts for a smooth, rich, and delightfully chocolatey finish. It pairs well with everything from barbecued and smoked meats to cheeses and desserts. I would love to have this with some barbecued ribs, man. I might have to do that. I'm actually going tomorrow to Wegmans near me. I looked at Find Our Beer. If you go to www.yuengling.com, click on Find Our Beer, put your state and your zip code in, it'll show you your nearest store where you can go pick this up. I found one that's only 10 minutes away from me, so I'm going tomorrow, buddy. I'm going to go get me some of this Yuengling Chocolate Porter. Have to drop a review on Instagram and Twitter so that you all could find out a little bit about it. I'm probably going to make some ribs with it. Who knows? I'm pretty excited.
Man, we need a picture for the gram if you do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Might have a fire out back again.
Nice. Yeah, I can't quite picture this with smoked meats, but you'll have to let me know how that is. I was just at Wegmans like 3 hours ago. I didn't even think to look for this. I kind of regret that now, but maybe I have to make a trip back to get that. But Yeah, man. I could see this with like sitting by the fire and like eating some s'mores or something. That'd be delicious.
Ooh.
But
ooh, now you're talking.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you think about that.
I'm excited to share it. So hopefully I'll have some information about that soon. But that's enough about beer. You ready to talk about some fights?
Yes, some fight news? Let's do that, man. Yes.
All right, guys. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Oh, hello, folks. All right, so UFC shenanigans. It's time to talk about some UFC. Obviously, we have our weigh-ins episodes on Tuesdays, most Tuesdays, unless things are not a lot going on. But make sure you tune in. Like I said, follow us on Instagram. You'll find out if we're going to do a weigh-ins episode on any given Tuesday. But we got just a few quick stories here to touch on. We got to move through these pretty fast so that we're staying on track here. But number one, if you guys recall, last Tuesday we talked about Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier in cahoots with one another, trying to set up a charity event. You know, completely separate of the UFC. Conor McGregor is going to put up the money for it, fly Dustin and his family out to Ireland, and make this fight happen. Well, as soon as that news broke, Dana White came out and offered them an official fight with the UFC and a rematch. It looks like Dustin Poirier has officially accepted that. And as of a couple hours ago, I think Conor McGregor was still up in the air, hadn't given his official agreement yet to Dana. That could have changed since then. But what I found interesting was that it wasn't super clear if that contract was sent to Conor and Dustin before this charity news came out. May be worth digging a little bit more into after this and to figure that out. But apparently McGregor declined the UFC's contract because he wants to fight Manny Pacquiao in early January. So I guess there were some stipulations around, you know, timing and things like that. But he's apparently planning a boxing match with Manny Pacquiao in January. And it looks like Manny Pacquiao has agreed to that and has gone out and said that a portion of his proceeds will be going towards COVID relief in the Philippines. So all that cool. To say, very interesting. I would love to see this rematch between McGregor and Dustin Poirier. You know, I think Poirier has come a long way since that first fight with McGregor. So I think that would be a really great matchup. Also would love to see a fight between Manny Pacquiao and Conor McGregor. And in addition to that, we've seen some news come out that Floyd Mayweather is willing to fight Conor again for, I think it said, what was it, $30 million or was it $300 million or some ridiculous amount of money.
Jeez.
So lots of stuff. Conor is out there. He's active in the news right now. I think he's just trying to keep his name out there. And like you said, on Tuesday's episode, get that good PR going again after some shady business happening. But more relevant fighter in the news, Adesanya, we talked about on Tuesday also. We talked about his saggy pectoral muscle.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's a good PC way to say that, right?
Yeah.
No real news has come out since then, but he did acknowledge the fact that it was there, and he's got a couple of MRIs coming up to see what's going on and diagnose the swelling there.
Yeah.
He basically said he knew about it, he was aware of it, but didn't want to take any action on it until after the Costa fight.
Right. So like he did his interview with Ariel Helwani. I don't know if you caught that. Did you catch that?
I didn't listen to it, but I read like the highlights.
All right. So I watched it. And so, yeah, they kind of got into that a little bit. He said it's tender, and he said that, you know, he's not really sure what it is, but it, you know, he doesn't think that, you know, it could be, he's like, it could be cancerous. Who knows? He's doesn't really know what it is. And everybody's kind of thinking like, it kind of looks like steroids, bro. Kind of looks like you've been doing steroids and you did a bad cycle and you came off that cycle poorly and your testosterone and estrogen levels got out of whack. And now here you are with too much estrogen in your system. And this is what it kind of looks like. But usually when that happens, it's both sides. It's not just one side. But during that interview, Ariel Helwani, you know, they kind of talked about that. And it's like, yeah, sure. Okay. And then Ariel just very blatantly said, have you ever done steroids? And I think everybody that is into UFC should just go watch the response to that question. Have you ever done steroids? And make of it what you will. But I know that just from like watching like certain psychology things that if somebody gives you like a much longer, like I've watched interrogation videos where like the tactic is if you ask somebody a very blatant question and then they go on and on, it means they're probably hiding something. Yeah. or they did it. And so that was his response, is it kind of went on and on and on and on and on. All he had to say is, no, I've never done that. Next question.
Yeah. Right.
And that's it. But the fact that he felt like he needed to keep talking is like a psychological thing where you need to like hide the truth more. And it's actually a tell that you're lying. So I'm a little bit skeptical right now of Israel Adesanya. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a professional.
Yep.
I have no idea, but I can't wait to see what the MRI results are. I know that he's passed at least like 30 different drug tests since he's been in the UFC. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty telling in itself, but who knows?
Yeah, interesting. I guess we'll see if anything else comes of that. But sticking with the theme here with Izzy, a lot of smack talk. We talked about this again on Tuesday. You know, what's next for John Jones? There's a potential matchup with Israel. It looks like some more fuel to the fire happening on a Twitter argument between these two guys. Really, really negative stuff devolving into family bashing and just like really bad. Like, you know, like, why do we have to bring this stuff to the sport? I don't understand it. I mean, there's always going to be bad blood between athletes. That's not going anywhere anytime soon. But leave the families out of it, guys. Jeez, come on.
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to read through the entire Twitter thread, but essentially some of the highlights or lowlights, I should say, ended with John Jones basically saying that Izzy's dad doesn't even think he can beat John. And then Israel saying that John's mom, who, by the way, died in 2017, would be disappointed in who he has become. And, you know, it's terrible stuff to say, man. Like, why? Like, it's just not cool. Not cool at all. You know, there's one thing about like hyping up a fight for the press and things, but then there's just being outright disrespectful to somebody. And it's just, I don't think that the sport needs that kind of behavior.
Just so unnecessary, man.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, people who don't watch the UFC, you know, I've got a lot of people, you know, in my personal circle, people I work with or friends with or whatever, that don't watch the UFC, and they have such a negative connotation with even the three letters UFC. They just think it's brutal, people bashing each other's faces in, like just negative content. But for true fans of the sport, you actually see the sportsmanship and you see the camaraderie and the athleticism and things like that. You see the sport for what it actually is. But then you've got stuff like this and what happened last weekend with Izzy after he won the fight. And it just tarnishes the brand, the reputation of the sport. If I was Dana, I would not put up with that, man. I would put in place a social media policy that says you cannot, you know, just lay out certain guidelines and be like, listen, man, if you're representing our company, our brand, there are certain standards you have to hold yourself to. And we will fine you or suspend you, terminate you from your contract should you go outside of those boundaries. But yeah. Regardless of all that, at the end of it, John asked, like, hey, are we still on for 2021? Basically trying to get Adesanya to back up his claims that he made, I think it was earlier this year or last year, about moving up a weight to fight John. So instead of, we're talking about John, you know, moving up or moving down, but Adesanya had actually previously said that he would move up after he earned the belt to then fight John Jones. So, you know, John's calling him out. Hey, man, where you at?
Yeah. Well, first off, I agree. I think that there should be a policy in place. These people need to be professional. If this sport's going to grow, then they need to be acting more professional, like in boxing, you know, like in any other sport. This kind of stuff, just, you know, I can understand why they're trying to like leave it in there because it's like building up fights and whatnot, and that's great. But it's like, but in the grand scheme of things, it's good in the short run, maybe, but it's not really that good in the long run, you know. So,
yeah, I think Adesanya and Costa towed the line quite well leading up to the fight. You know, there was a lot of bashing, there was a lot of trash talking, a lot of you taking steroids, no, you taking steroids, no, you're skinny, you should be a dancer, you should, like, all this stuff, you look like Ricky Martin, like that to me is totally fine. Even up to the point where they had the face off and like Costa brought the black belt and threw the white belt at it. Like that stuff, it's fine to me. But like you start talking about people's parents or like siblings or whatever who are deceased, and and you start humping people in the octagon, that's just a negative look. It's a bad look. But yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on from that. Really cool news coming up. Two cool stories. Number one, Frank Mir. We all remember Frank Mir, right? Legend in the UFC.
Yeah.
I forget how old he actually is now. I don't know how old he actually is, but he's old enough to have a 17-year-old daughter whose name is Isabella, and she's making her professional debut in MMA with Icon Fighting Federation. So how cool is that to have a legend like Frank Mir, his daughter coming up in the sport? Who knows how long she's been training for? You know, one can imagine probably since she was a small, small child, now making her professional debut in Icon. So not much else to say there other than that's awesome.
Yeah, he's 41 years old. That's crazy. I know that he went over to Bellator and wasn't doing so hot over there. I don't think he's fighting anymore at all, but I can't wait. I really want to see how this goes. I mean, she's like, you know, got Frank Mir, who's a former title holder in the UFC and yeah. has all that awesome jiu-jitsu background and grappling background. Yeah, man. Can't That's wait exciting. For that.
Super exciting. Almost as exciting as the fact that we've got news that there will be the first fighting event with fans in the stands, butts in seats, watching a fighting event. It's not UFC. It's not MMA. It's actually a boxing event coming up on October 31st between, probably going to butcher these names, Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz at the San Antonio Alamodome. Okay, so I guess that's a combination of words. Alamo. And dome. So Alamodome. I don't know what this place is. I don't know.
No, it's actually Alodomi.
Is it?
No.
Alodomi.
Alamodome.
Anyways, this place, whatever it is called, apparently can seat up to 70,000 people. So it's a giant arena, I am assuming. But not yet sure what percentage of fans will be able to actually attend the event. But regardless, this is a promising start, in my opinion. Texas, I think, is one of the more lenient states when it comes to, you know, social gatherings and things like that. Although it has like one of the highest COVID diagnosis, you know, rates or whatever. But we have to remember what the population size probably is in Texas. So regardless, pretty cool to see this. I know in the NFL, you know, certain teams are allowing some percentage of fans back into the stands, which is cool to see, like actually cool to watch actual fans be present for an event like that. So I'm kind of excited to get back to that place.
Yeah. You won't catch me there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think I'd really, I was actually listening to Joe Rogan's podcast earlier today, and Jamie, who's his producer, is from Ohio. So I think he's a Cleveland Browns fan like you are. Right.
Yeah.
And it was funny, they were talking about this same thing about, you know, fans being back in some NFL games. And he said, like, only 15,000 fans. Well, I say only, that's a lot of people. But spaced out in a stadium, you know, that's pretty small percentage.
Right.
Of 15,000 fans were back in, and still a fight broke out in the stands. Still somehow a fight broke out. And, of course. Just, like, it's crazy.
I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's just going to, you know, it's not helping the problem. So,
oh well. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I enjoy watching without the fans, kind of watching UFC, just because it's cool to hear like the corners and the fighters and all the commentary and things like that.
You know, it'd be funny if they just like CGI'd fans in and it was like,
yeah. That's like the next step, man. I mean, they've like put like these virtual like faces already.
Yeah. If it was like the video game, you're just like watching it and it's like the video game, but there's actual like live people in the ring.
Yeah. Well, the NFL has resorted to
South Park cutouts.
They've done that, but they've also done just like they do fake crowd noise.
What?
Yeah. So like, if there's a good play, it's just like they just play crowd sounds. They're just like, whoa, yeah, woo. And just, there's literally nobody there. It's just crowd noise. But it actually works. Like, as a football fan watching it, like, it, your brain, it triggers your brain to feel like it's normal.
Huh.
You know, cause okay. Just imagine how weird that dynamic is. Like, as a quarterback, you're like yelling at the top of your lungs, the play in the huddle, or like when you're snapping the ball, you're yelling at the top of your lungs. But if it's dead silent in there, like, the dynamic changes completely. Anyways, we're getting off topic. But
yeah.
interesting that they're bringing some people back. I mean, you know, I agree with you. It's probably not great for the cause, but it makes me feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, I hope. You know, hopefully we're, you know, at a place at some point where we can have people actually watching these events live again one day in the distant future.
I'm sure we'll find out soon. You know, so I don't know how to segue this. I could come up with something super corny.
We've got more COVID news coming up, actually. More coronavirus news coming up.
All right, guys, stick around. We got tech news coming up. Be right back. And we're back. Time to talk about some tech.
Some tech. Why do you keep going country? You keep going country today.
Going tech. I think it's because I lost my beard. Maybe for some, I feel like I'm a different person. I'm a different person now since I shaved my beard off.
You do a pretty good country accent, though. I feel like you've got experience with it.
I'm gonna start role playing in my video games as a country person. All right, get him. He's coming around the left there. All right, I'm shooting him now. Yeah. All right, he's dead now.
He's down yonder.
Oh, he's got a cowboy hat on. Oh, don't shoot him. That's my friend.
That's Billy Joe. Oh, man. We've just gone off the rails.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's get in some tech news. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, as we mentioned at the top of the show. You know, we just segued talking about COVID inadvertently. Now we're talking about COVID directly. Some news came out a couple of days ago that an official count of Amazon employees who have been diagnosed with COVID. Can you take a guess? Let's just take a guess. I know you probably looked at the show notes already.
I'm already looking at them.
Is it 5,000? Is it 10,000? No, it's 19,000 plus Amazon employees have been diagnosed with COVID, with at least 10 of them having died from the virus. This just blew my mind when I read this 2 days ago. And it's kind of sad, honestly, that I started to think about after I read this. I was like, you know, this whole thing happened with coronavirus, and this is not a coronavirus podcast. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but Amazon never stopped. 2-day shipping never stopped, never slowed down, never was like, hey, guys, we're going to go to 3-day shipping. The Amazon employees have been there through it all. You know, like, we all got to stay at home or had to stay at home or whatever your situation may be, but we kept ordering stuff from Amazon and they kept delivering it within 2 days. So I feel like really bad for them. Like, no one ever took that into account, it seems like. You know, I don't have a ton of details on this whole situation, but just that sheer number alone is a pretty terrifying statistic.
Yeah. I don't like it because I still order stuff from Amazon and I'm like, does this thing have COVID on it? What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, there's that aspect, and then there's, like, almost, like, you feel bad. Like, you're contributing to, like, if we continue ordering from Amazon, they continue having to be there. Right. And I remember, right, like, early on in this whole thing, like, they had a lot of commercials running about how clean their facilities were and, like, all their practices and things they had put into place to make sure that people were safe and whatever. But now workers are coming out claiming that the cleaning practices haven't been consistent and the facilities are still crowded and it's impossible to social distance. I personally feel kind of bad. I'm like, I've ordered, like, I, you know, countless things since this coronavirus happened, probably more than usual, just because, like, for basic everyday necessities, like paper towels, toilet paper, you know, whatever, clothing items, have resorted to ordering them online as opposed to going out and getting them in the store like I typically would. So it's kind of a sucky situation, man.
Maybe Jeff Bezos should take some of that tax money and pay for some freaking sanitization. I'm a little upset right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's understandable. I don't really know what the solution there is. That probably isn't really a solution, but it's kind of crazy that we live in a culture. We talked about this in a very early episode of our podcast. We live in a culture where we've come to expect 2-day shipping. Like, if I order something and it's not Amazon Prime and I have to wait 4 days, I'm pissed off, dude. I'm like, what the hell, man? Why can I not get my printer cable within 4 days? Are you kidding me? You know, like,
yeah,
where's my 2-day shipping, man?
Yeah, like, you know, when I ordered my keyboard and it was like 3 months.
Okay, yeah. Now that's pushing it. 3 months, that's beyond unreasonable.
Yeah, I think I deserve all my money back. Should have been a free keyboard at that point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's I don't know.
They have the resources. They can come up with a solution. He has solutioned everything else. How can he not make a solution for this? It's the infrastructure that they built out. I feel like they got sloppy with it as they grew, and
yeah,
that's probably all it is. But there's got to be a solution for everything.
Yeah, I agree, man. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I just thought it was crazy. I feel like we had to share that. But I guess just be thankful, be appreciative of your Amazon delivery driver. One thing that. Not totally unrelated to this. We didn't even know this until 2 days ago, but my wife actually did something cool for an Amazon driver. Pulled up one day, and my sons were in the house, and he was coming up to the door, and she's like, "Hey, take this candy, take this lollipop to him." So we had like a little Tootsie Pop, and my 4-year-old met him at the door, and of course the driver was masked up and all that stuff, but he handed him that Tootsie Pop, and the guy was just like completely shocked. He was just like, "Oh," he's like, "Oh, wow, thank you." He's like, "Thanks, buddy," and he just went back to his van. Like, I mean, I feel like that probably made his day. You know, like just things like that. You know, nice. These are people at the end of the day, so we just need to be appreciative of them.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, awesome. Moving on from that, a little bit of somber news there to start us out, but we've got a lot of hardware to cover, man. I'm going to try to get through this because we're running out of time. We talk too much about beer. We like beer too much.
I know. We're at 53 minutes already, so we gotta move.
Oh geez. Yep. Okay. Well, I'm gonna skip over the large portion of this, and maybe we'll do a bonus content or something this week, and I can get a little bit more long-winded about it. But Google had an event this week to announce some new hardware, and here are the three things they announced: new Pixel 5. So if you're in the market for a new Android device that's very simplistic, very easy to use, very user-friendly, and also affordable, this is definitely for you. It starts at $699, which compared to today's flagship phones, like the Note series or the Samsung S20 and things like that, this is very reasonable considering that phones usually hover around $1,000 these days. $699, the trade-offs, you ask? You get a 1080p screen. You don't get the newest processor from Snapdragon. You only get 8 gigabytes of RAM. Some things like that. But overall, 90 hertz refresh rate versus 120 hertz refresh rate. Overall, it's just like iPhone. Google makes the software. Google makes the hardware. It's a quality device. It's going to be very, very good for most people. So unless you are somebody as a tech enthusiast who needs all the features of a Samsung Note 20 Pro, I would recommend this Pixel 5. I haven't used one myself, obviously. It releases October 29th to the United States, but I've owned a Pixel phone previously, and I think, Reese, you still use a Pixel phone.
Yeah.
I loved my Pixel device until I broke it. So great, great device, great budget option. Check it out. Next up.
I'm in the market for a new phone, so I might actually be checking this out.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I feel like I may have almost converted you to iPhone in the previous episodes.
So Amazon Prime's coming up real soon, and I have some things to think about, some life-changing events coming up here.
Let's
Do I make the switch, or do I stick with Google? Do I stick with Samsung, which all feels like home to me?
Yeah.
Or do we'll I talk make about that? It. Do I make that deep dive? Anyway, all right.
Moving on, Real quick here, guys, new Google Chromecast. I love Google Chromecast. I've been using one for many years, but now I've got a smart TV and it does it all by itself. But if you don't have a smart TV and you need a Chromecast still, there's a new one out there now that supports 4K at up to 60 frames per second. It looks basically the same as every other Chromecast. It's a little bit more oblong than it used to be, but it now comes with a remote. Thank you, Google. It has a remote. As awesome as it sounds to be able to control your Chromecast with your phone, it's not practical. It really isn't. And if you guys haven't tried it before, it just kind of sucks. It also comes with something called Google TV installed on it, which is very similar to Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, etc. Essentially, it's an interface where you can install apps like Netflix, Hulu, you know, things like that. You can find your TV shows. You can navigate through with the remote. The remote has a Google Assistant button, so you can use your voice to navigate. And it also supports Google Stadia, which is a huge win for the device. If you don't have a TV or any other device that you can play Google Stadia on, this new Chromecast will support that software. So you just have to get yourself a Google Stadia controller, pay for the subscription fee, and you can get access to a ton of games right there on your device. Sweet. It's only $50. That's an amazing price for something like that.
Nice. Probably looking forward to that for Amazon Prime Day too, if it's out.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, guys, they announced a new Google Nest audio device. So this is kind of a replacement for Google Home. It doesn't have a screen. It's got a new design. So if you guys don't know, they bought Nest probably a year or two ago, and all of their home devices, such as the Google Home, the Google Home Max, and all that stuff, they rebranded with Nest branding. So they've got a new smart speaker out. It's called the Google Nest Audio. It costs $100. It's got new fabric design, better audio quality, and better bass. And interesting to me was that they're advertising these to buy them in bulk. So how, you ask? They say right on their website, save $20 for every two devices purchased. So you do the math on your own, because you don't want me doing your math for you, I promise you. But the more devices you buy, the more money you save. So the idea here is to plaster your house with Google Nest audio devices, put one in every room, because you can sync them all together and play the same song throughout your entire house, very similar to what you'd get with like a Sonos system. And they come in a variety of colors. If you pair two together, you can get stereo audio, so you can actually get left and right audio from the two devices. Really cool stuff. They're available now for pre-order, and they'll hit shelves on October 15th.
Nice. Well, switching gears a little bit, we're going to talk about some VR news here soon. HP's next enterprise headset is the Reverb G2 Omnicept. I'm super excited about this, guys. I actually saw this in a live demo on YouTube. They put this thing up against the Valve Index and also against the Oculus Quest 2 just to show the graphics, the video. Oh my god, it blows Index and Quest 2 out of the water. Oh my god, dude. It looks so clean, so smooth. There's like no screen door effect. It's got amazing graphics. I don't have the specs on it, but just looking at it, oh my, I just can't wait till this thing comes out, because it is going to lead the way. And it's not even like a gaming oriented headset, it's for enterprise use. So let's get into something about this. Okay, guys, it adds real-time human tracking using Omnicept SDK, tracking stress levels and multiple other things. It's got eye tracking, which developers and enterprise users think could provide some useful information into user behavior. That's going to be cool. Something very interesting I thought was a face cam. So this is a great idea. They definitely needed to bring this to VR. What is this? It's capable of tracking various lip movements and facial expressions, allowing for more natural face-to-face encounter. So in a VR space, typically, you just see like a Pac-Man kind of mouth. Bah, 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 you know, kind of going. So now we're talking like actual, like we're getting there, man. We're getting
there. That's awesome. Yeah, people always talk about like the uncanny valley when you're in a VR space, like the eye movement's off, the lips are off. And so that just messes with your brain. It doesn't register as a real thing.
Yeah. So you start getting lip movement and eye movement. I mean, we're talking reality here, folks. heart rate sensor, which is located near the wearer's forehead. Not really sure how that works, but it's designed around four specific use cases: training, collaboration, creation, and well-being. So, you know, one of those use cases is certainly not gaming, but I don't see why this couldn't be a gaming headset, but it certainly opens my eyes to an enterprise setting. I'd love to have one of these in my house. I'm not sure what the price point is, but keep an eye out. I might have some more information next week on this. And rounding out, I'm just kind of cruising through these, rounding out our tech news. This one's not really tech. It's kind of tech, but David Attenborough's Micro Monsters is coming to life on Oculus TV next week. Oh, yeah. Who's David Attenborough? Well, if you've seen Planet Earth or all of the different Planet Earths, he's the guy that sits there and talks in his English accent. I'm not even going to try and replicate it because it's probably going to sound country. But so real quick, five-part miniseries. Well, it's a five-part series, sorry, into the tiny world of arthropods. We're talking scorpions, ants, aphids, a trapdoor spider, and a bombardier beetle, butterflies, and the hypnotic Portia spider, which can attack spiders twice their size. Dude, I think I'm going to have to watch this.
I can tell you right now, one of my favorite things to watch is these animal documentaries. Like, there's nothing more hypnotizing to me than watching these weird animal documentaries with these British accents. I think Netflix has one out now called, like, Tiny Creatures or something like that. And it's just, like, watching this tiny little kangaroo rat, I think is what it's called, like, bounce around. For number one, I'm like, how in the hell did they get this footage?
Yeah.
Like, right. How are they filming this little creature that no one's ever seen before for so long? Like, it's just mind-blowing to me. And then the voiceover just is what is the icing on the cake.
It's this guy. It's David Attenborough, man. He does them all.
Off show here, we got to talk about one that I can't remember the guy's name. He's on YouTube. I can almost, it's like on the tip of my tongue. I think his name is like Frank. His last name is like Frank or something. But anyways, he like narrates something about a sea cucumber. And
oh,
like,
gosh.
It's so funny, dude. It's so funny. He talks about gotta, a sea cucumber like it. Farting. It's just so funny. Oh my gosh.
All right. It's you got to share thing. It.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, this is exciting. I can't imagine doing that in VR. Watching that in VR.
Yes.
That's like my life. I need that.
Yeah. So that's, I'm going to probably watch it next week and then I'll let you know how it goes.
Please do.
All right, guys, we're going to talk about some video games and then we're going to wrap the show up. Be right back. And we're back. We're going to just kind of fly through these guys. We got NVIDIA news. They're delaying their launch of the RTX 3070 until October 29th. Why are they doing that? Well, they're trying to ensure that they have enough stock to fulfill orders. Their launch of the 3080 and the 3090 didn't go well, and they ran out of stock, and customers were upset. Don't want that to happen. One thing that's very exciting about the 3070, it's priced at $499, which is very affordable for the quality that you're getting. Guys, if you got $500 sitting around and you can't afford the 3080 or the 3090, you're going to get your bang. You're going to get the bang for your buck for the 3070 at $499. I think that that's a very good entry-level price for folks that are looking for a nice RTX graphics card. It's also possible that they delayed orders so that they could complicate Radeon's RX 6000 series release. These darn tech companies always competing with each other, man. I feel like these guys are constantly just trying to cut each other down.
Yeah.
And here we go again.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep. So moving along, we got Oculus Move news. Quest gets a built-in fitness tracking system. It's not out yet. Not a whole lot of information on it, but it's a cross-app fitness tracker. Allows you to set goals and view workout history. Track stats like calories burned, minutes spent moving, intensity of workouts. Works with apps like Beat Saber, Thrill of the Fight, and O-Shape. This is something that absolutely was needed. And happy to see that they're finally doing this, because it seems like the Oculus Quest is turning into more of like a fitness, fitness option for people, meditation option along with gaming. But I think it's really got a great thing going with COVID-19 being around. People can just get their fitness done with a head mounted display on. I've used it personally for fitness, and it's great. So very cool.
Yeah, that's super cool, man. I definitely think it's a good niche for them to go after. I wonder how it's tracking that. Is there a sensor, like it mentioned, we mentioned earlier, like on the forehead, or is it based on like movement, you think?
The only thing I could probably think of is you're probably putting in some data, and then it's just tracking time and movement.
Yeah, that's really cool. Really cool. So something that does not require much physical activity is Rocket League. Everyone's familiar with Rocket League. I don't need to tell you what Rocket League is, but I can tell you that it's now completely free with Epic Games. You can get it. You can play it. If you haven't played it yet, man, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. Mindless fun in a time where everything is stressful. Life is stressful. Gaming can be stressful at times. We've experienced that. But yeah, it used to be like $20. It's been $20 for like a long time. They're moving more towards a DLC model now. They've got like crates and passes and different loot and stuff that you can buy and earn earn more cars and more accessories for your car and things like that. But yeah, if you want to pick it up, I definitely recommend you check it out now on Epic Games and download it for free.
I sure did, and I was pretty happy with it, so definitely recommend that for everyone else.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. A little bit of news about Super Smash Brothers. They got some new characters. So this comes from Jordan Olleman of IGN. I read his article earlier today. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate director Mashiro Sakurai revealed on Thursday that the game's next DLC characters will be Minecraft's Steve, Alex, Zombie, and Enderman. An in-depth look at how these characters will work in-game is coming on October 3rd, where a release date for the characters will also be revealed. Pretty cool.
Interesting. Doesn't speak to me much. I've never played Minecraft, so I don't really know much about that, but I like zombies.
Yeah, it's big news for a lot of younger generation folks out there, I think. You know, a lot of people play Minecraft. A lot of people love it. So, a lot of people love Super Smash Brothers. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to really love this.
Worlds colliding.
There it is. And I think the biggest news, at least in my neck of the woods, something that really affects me because I'm a big fan of Fallout and Elder Scrolls and Doom and all of those things. Frankly, I'm just a big fan of Bethesda. I have been for a very long time. Microsoft, if you haven't heard this now, you have to be living under a rock, I think, because it's been plastered everywhere. Microsoft bought ZeniMax, Bethesda, which includes Bethesda, and ZeniMax Online Studios, which handles the Elder Scrolls Online. They bought them all for $7.5 billion.
Jeez.
So that's a pretty huge purchase there. But what does this mean? This is something that's very exciting for me. Microsoft can now make Fallout New Vegas 2. The original creators of Fallout New Vegas and the Outer Worlds developer Obsidian is already owned by Microsoft, which opens the door for New Vegas 2. What are your thoughts on all of this? I don't know if you're really into these types of games, but I'm certainly very excited about it, and I've been trying to get you to get into Fallout 76. Maybe that'll happen someday, but yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think of that, honestly. I feel like it's kind of like we talked about earlier today. Video games are the same way. We've got a lot of indie developers. I don't know that you can consider Bethesda indie anymore. I mean, they've gotten pretty large. They're pretty large, right? So $7.5 billion, that's a ton of money. I mean, I don't know that I've heard of an investment much larger than that before. But that's exciting, man. I just hope that means, you know, new investment, new life into that company, continue making great games, continue making bigger games, hopefully, you know, speed up development cycles. That's always a hard thing for those sort of games like Fallout, and you've got other open world games from different developers that take a ton of time to develop. Maybe that means more resources and quicker turnaround times for new games.
I can say one thing real quick about it is I know that Bethesda and ZeniMax and all these companies have been kind of like slacking off a little bit, and I understand why now. They've been trying to cut costs so that they can boost up their profits and make their profits look really good. That's why when Doom 2 came out, there wasn't a whole lot of like new stuff introduced. It wasn't new assets. It wasn't anything like that. The things that really cost money are getting people in there, making new assets, creating new I'm trying to say like the new foundations for the game, essentially, you know, the new engines, like that's what costs a lot of money. And they haven't been doing that. They've just been reusing assets, reusing stuff, adding, you know, new voice lines and stuff like that. But nothing like really groundbreaking like Skyrim was, or like Fallout 4, or Fallout 3 was, or like Doom was. Like, you know, we're 5 years out from anything really groundbreaking that they've done. And I think it's all because they were trying to get bought. Yep. And now that they're bought by Microsoft, I'm very excited. Hopefully Microsoft can pump enough money in and we'll get something very exciting in the next, you know, 5 years from these developers.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I definitely do want to get into Fallout. Maybe this weekend's the weekend. I don't know.
Nah, man. As soon as that sucker goes on sale, we got to wait for that thing to go on sale.
Yeah, I'm in for it. Well, that was a lot, man. We covered a lot of news really fast.
Yeah.
You guys let us know what you think of all that stuff about the new Google hardware. Will you be picking up any of that stuff? Let us know about these video games. How excited are you for these VR advancements? I feel like every week we're talking about new VR stuff. The beard is bringing us the news. You know, lots of stuff. I feel like more competition in the space from like HP and, you know, Oculus doing this thing with the Quest 2. It just gets better and better for consumers. I feel like we're reaching this like rapid advancement stage now, where like just new and better hardware is coming out every single year, and we're getting to a really good rhythm of new improvements. So I'm excited to get into that space myself and hear firsthand from you your accounts of how things, you know, different experiences.
Absolutely. But, I'm super excited about that, and I'll definitely let you know. I also want to know if anybody goes out there and tries a Yingling Hershey's chocolate porter.
Yeah.
You know, what your thoughts are on that, man. I'm very excited to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we close out the show, again, really, really quick shout out to Farmhouse again. I just want to say thank you guys so much for you know, kind of hooking us up with that new IPA today. Lauren, thank you so much for chatting with me today. And it was great to kind of put a face to the name there. And stay tuned, you guys, for that, you know, exclusive look at that new IPA that's coming out very soon. And, you know, I guess with that, I just another reminder, as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you guys want to support us, help us grow the show. We're having so much fun producing the show for you guys, regardless if we have to speed through the last couple of sections because we like to talk about MMA and beer a lot. you know, we're evaluating our format and trying to make improvements for you guys to make this a quality experience for you all. So if you have any recommendations of how we can make this any better for you, please do let us know, and make sure you're following along with us on Instagram, on Twitter. We're very active on both those platforms, and we'd love to hear from you guys. But make sure you subscribe. If you're watching here on YouTube, subscribe and like. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcast player is. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And we just look forward to engaging with you guys. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, everybody. Super excited. Can't wait for what's coming up next. So catch you on the next one.
See you guys.